We're all on a journey, and we're called to walk by faith. There'll always be the mountains and valleys in our way. But right here in this moment, may our strength be renewed as we recall what God has done and how we've seen Him move.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able,
say amen.
If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow. And you've seen it time and time again.
Just say amen.
Sometimes through the darkness, it gets hard to see. But be bold and courageous and follow where He leads. Greater is the One who's in us than he who's in the world. So child of God, remember the battle is the Lord's.
If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again. Just say amen.
Just stand and testify
of the greatness of God in our lives. If there's anybody here who's found Him faithful, anybody here who knows He's able, say amen. If there's anybody here who's seen His power, anybody here brought through the fire, say amen. Anybody here found joy in the midst of sorrow, peace in the storm, hope for tomorrow, and you've seen it time and time again. Just say amen.
Just say amen.
Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, God has been faithful, hasn't He? And I'm thankful to the faithfulness of God. I'm thrilled to be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Freeman, for the invitation and for your kindness over the years. And I appreciate this church. And I'm thankful that we can go different places in different parts of the world and brag on the same God. Amen. And I thank the Lord for it. I'm privileged to be here tonight. I've got one of my children with me. One of my daughters is here tonight. Carmen, wave your hand, sweetie. And she hopped in the car and rode with Daddy, and I'm thankful for her. And I sure appreciate my family, appreciate my wife. My wife had two wisdom teeth pulled yesterday, and she's in some pain and swollen, but we know God's going to raise her up, and I'm just thankful for my wife. Where would we be without our wives? And I certainly thank the Lord. So you keep my wife in prayer. Her mother, Jean Burris, who's been a pastor's wife now for over 35 years, is battling triple negative breast cancer. And if you keep my mother-in-law in your prayers, I know she would appreciate that, and we would appreciate that. We know that God's in control, and we thank the Lord for his providence and watch care, but we are certainly asking God to do a healing, and he can, amen. And I certainly thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Thank you, preacher, for the message and for reminding us about what God's word says. Sometimes we get away from the word, don't we? And God has to bring us back to the truth of his word. And I'm glad that God has done good so far. Amen. And he's going to keep on doing good. And I thank the Lord for it. Open your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. There on the back, there's a table there. I've got some singing and some preaching that Brother Dave asked me to bring. So if you're interested in that, please stop by the table. We'd love to be able to be a blessing to you if the Lord would allow it. There's a singing CD back there for 12, and there's sermon MP3s that got 10 messages back there for 20. If you're interested, stop by the table. If not, there's so much better things to rejoice about than some CDs and MP3s, and that's the goodness of God. Amen. So I thank the Lord for it. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word. 2 Kings chapter 4. My dad and mom send their best, and they've enjoyed being here. The times they've been able to come, my dad is out of town in Columbus preaching a missions conference, and mom almost jumped in the car and came down. She wanted to come check on these young people over here in this section, and she sends her best. But thank the Lord for the opportunity to be able to serve, and not only serve, but pastor my parents. And I thank the Lord for that. 2 Kings chapter 4. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee, upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from it, shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet another vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil and pay thy debt. And live thou and thy children of the rest. Let the church say amen. Amen. Our Father, we thank you for the precious word of God. I thank you for what we've heard already. We've been encouraged. We've been challenged. We've been reminded. We've been motivated. We've been stirred. We've been preached to and given the truth. Now I pray we leave this building and live it tonight. I pray, God, you'd cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, fill me with your spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. The arm of flesh will fail, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I pray, God, that you bind Satan, put a hedge of protection about this place, that in no way he'd hinder the work of the Holy Spirit of God, that you do what you want to do tonight. We get out the way. I pray you'd watch over my wife and the rest of my family while I'm gone, and bring Carmen and me back to them safely this evening. Now, Lord, you do a work, and we'll give you the glory for it. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I don't know everyone's story in the room, and most of you don't know mine. But I would say, I echo what the preacher said a few moments ago, it is good to be saved. And by the way, the only way you can be saved is by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. As a matter of fact, here recently, I had a preacher call me to tell me that another preacher had a little bit of a problem with the fact that I said that a lot of things are complicated in life, but salvation isn't one of them. I repeat, a lot of things are complicated in life, but salvation is not one of them. It is the gift of God, amen? And I'm glad that God didn't make getting saved hard. It wasn't hard for me. It was hard for Jesus. He made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I am glad I'm saved. When you get saved, you begin to understand some things about God that lost people can't understand. You learn some things about God's mercy. You learn some things about God's truth. You learn some things about God's long suffering. You learn some things about God's wisdom. You learn some things about God's patience. You learn some things about God's word. You learn some things about God's perspective. You learn some things about God's power. You learn some things about God's presence. You learn some things about God's providence. You learn some things about God's prosperity. You learn some things about God's perpetuity. You learn some things about God's personality. The lost man can't understand that. He's dead in his trespasses and sin. But when you get saved and you know the Lord, you learn that God is a good God. So without knowing your story and without you knowing mine, I think I can step out on a limb and say, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have learned from the Word of God, and you've learned from personal experience that the God you serve provides. You believe that? Say amen. I'm glad God provides. By the way, I'm glad I don't pray to Buddha. I'm glad I don't pray to Muhammad. I'm glad I don't confess to a priest. I'm glad my hope's not in a pope. I'm glad I'm not talking to a cow that used to be my grandma. I'm glad I know the God that owns a cattle of a thousand hills. He put the stars in space. He put the moon in place. He put the sun hanging on nothing and it never falls down. He took from the dust of the ground, formed man, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. Man became a living soul. I don't know a God. I don't know one of the gods. I'm connected with the God of all gods. Amen. He provides. Amen. Now here's a lady in 2 Kings 4 that's going to learn it by experience. And we're going to learn some things from her experience that'll help us in ours. I don't know about you. I'm standing in need tonight for some specific areas for God to provide. Amen. 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 I've got some prayer requests on my list. I've got some unspokens that I can't share. I've got some burdens that I can't bear. I've got some questions I can't answer. I've got some problems I can't solve. I've got some worries that I can't fix. But I'm glad that the God that I serve provides. Now I want you to look at 2 Kings chapter 4 with me. And I want you to notice, first of all, that God provides for desperate individuals. I said for desperate individuals. I don't know if we've ever seen a day and age, preachers, where the people of God are battling more critical issues than they are right now. Marriage is under attack. Our homes are under attack. Our kids that have grown up in church are under attack. Churches are under attack. Morality is under attack. This King James Bible is under attack. I want you to see the emotional pain of this woman. She lost her husband. There could be some in the building tonight who could identify with this woman. I'm sure you'd say it's an emotional pain to lose your spouse. I want to tell you, she was hurting. Could I tell you, God provides when you're hurting. Not only was she going through an emotional pain, but she had an economic plight. The Bible says she didn't have any money, and the creditors were knocking on her door. Her husband was dead. She was a widow. She had no money. Aren't you glad that when you don't have money, that God is doing just fine? Notice her emotional pain, her economic plight. Notice her endearing past. This was a man who had been a servant of the Lord. He wasn't just any man. He had feared God. He had stood with Elisha. He was a godly man. Here she was with an economic plight, an emotional pain, an endearing past, and an extreme predicament. They were coming to get her kids. Can a parent be in more an extreme predicament than when somebody's trying to take your kids? Could I tell you, the devil wants your kids. Listen to me. I said the devil wants your kids. The devil wants your family. The devil wants your marriage. I sat down just last night alongside my sister and another lady in our church, and this lady is right in the middle of losing her marriage. Her husband has lost his mind. He's walked away from ministry. He's walked away from his marriage. He's walked away from his calling of God. Can I tell you something? She doesn't need somebody to slap her on the head, to anoint her with oil, or to give her a little soothing talk to make her feel good. She needs Almighty God with everything he has to provide. I wonder if anybody in here is desperate tonight. So, Pastor, I got a burden. I'm hurting. I don't know if I'm going to make it at the end of the month. I've got a financial diagnosis that the doctor can't fix. I've got a rebellious child. I've got a lost spouse. I've got a burden that's too heavy. I've got struggles. By the way, there are many in the body of Christ today, churches all over America, who are battling severely with depression. They won't say it. They won't speak up. They're embarrassed. They're worried about being condemned, called a weak Christian, and saying they need to just trust God. But it doesn't change the fact that when they pillow their heads at night, they're desperate, they're worried, they're struggling, they're insecure, they're anxious, they're contemplating suicide. Could I tell you, before you throw in the towel, I've learned some things about Jehovah God. He provides.
Amen.
There's a desperate individual. I want you to know this secondly. There was a direct inquiry. She came to the man of God. I need some help. I want you to notice verse 2. Elisha's dialogue with her. What shall I do for thee? I'm embellishing a little bit, but it's almost as if he looked at her and said, "You broke? I'm a Baptist preacher. What you think I am?" "Sister, you have come to the wrong mister. You got a money problem. You come to the wrong place. Preacher, I don't mean to say this in a wrong way, but I'm worried sometimes that people bring their problems to the preacher instead of their problems to the provider. I'm worried sometimes that people want an answer from the counselor instead of an answer from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm worried sometimes that we put our trust in chariots and horses instead of trusting in the name of the Lord Almighty God. I'm worried sometimes we want to hear our favorite song. We want to get into our favorite revival or listen to our favorite speaker to hear from God." Can I tell you, Elisha wanted that woman to know, "You got a problem I can't solve, but I know a God who can."
Amen.
He wanted her to admit her desire. He had an availability discussion with her, though. "Tell me, what hast thou in the house?"
"Preacher, they're coming to get my boys, and I don't have enough money to pay them."
"Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me. I'm not interested in what you don't have. Tell me what you do have."
Amen.
Boy, isn't that where God wants to start? Wouldn't it be a whole lot easier for us to come up to the altar tonight and give God a list of everything we don't have? Boy, if I'm a pastor, boy, I could handle that one, couldn't I? "Pastor, I don't have enough, God, I don't have enough money." That'd be number one. As a pastor, we need more money. I don't know a pastor in America who couldn't use some more money. build more buildings, reach more people. Hey, I mean, how many pastors would say, God, we could use more laborers. We could use more missionaries. We could use bigger facilities. I mean, how many would say, we could get some more families. We could use some more Sunday school teachers. We could use some more staff members. We could use some more choir members. We could use some more instruments. We could use some more Sunday school classes. We could use some more this, that. Let me tell you something. I think sometimes we spend so much time telling God what we don't have. Now listen to me. When all you do is talk about what you don't have, you avoid availability. Amen. Tell you what God's asking you tonight. What you got? David, I don't want to know what you don't have. Tell me what you have. I got a slingshot. Hey, boy, I don't know what you don't have. Tell me what you have. I got a lunch. All right. Ma'am, don't tell me what you don't have. Tell me what you do. I got two mics. Come on. I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter where you are. You've got to answer this question to Almighty God. What do you have in your house? Well, preacher, we don't have a building. Well, do you have a school? Well, we don't have a school. Well, do you have a storefront? Well, we don't have a choir. Well, do you have a duet? Well, we don't have a duet. Do you have a solo? We have a solo. You got an instrumentalist? We don't have an instrumentalist. Can you sing a cappella? I'm just asking you, do you have anything in your house? Because before God's going to give you what he has, you got to give him what you have.
That's right. Amen.
We're great at answering the question, what don't you have? But that doesn't force us to be available. Ma'am, before we have a talk with God about your problem, tell him what you got. That's a direct inquiry. Notice, thirdly, there's some detailed instructions. Okay, you got a pot of oil, okay. Well, first thing you do is go borrow some vessels. Personal aggression. Now, wait a minute now. She only got one pot. She the first to tell you she cannot take the oil in that pot and multiply. Somebody say amen. How many of you would be quick to admit to me tonight that the little bit you have, you are incapable of multiplying it? Would you say amen? So was she. I tell you, she could not make oil multiply itself. But what she could do is send those boys down those streets of that neighborhood to knock on some doors and to borrow some empty pots. Listen to me. She couldn't do what God could do, but God wasn't going to do what she could do. Could I tell you, I can't save anybody in Northern Virginia. Our church is situated 3 miles south of the Pentagon. When the boom went off on September 11th, you could hear it from our church. We've got every nationality in Northern Virginia that you could think of. People sitting on top of people all over everywhere. Could I tell you, there's not a person in Northern Virginia that Kenny Baldwin can save. But I'll tell you what I can do. I can get up every day and preach the gospel of the living God. I can pass out tracts. I can have ministries. I can teach Sunday school classes. I can get busy for God. I can learn how to be a, listen to me, you can spend all your time talking about, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not able to go here, I'm not able to go there. No, but you can do what you can. Amen. Nobody in this building can build Fellowship Baptist Church. God builds the church. I said God builds church, but you can be a soul winner. Amen. You listen to me, I doubt there's anybody in here who can donate $2 million tonight. If you are, come see me. You can tithe. Watch it now. I said you can tithe. Well, that's not that much. Neither was her pot of oil. But read the end of the story. See, the issue isn't how much you have. The issue is in how big your God is. And God can take a little and make a whole lot out of it. But God can't make a whole lot out of a little if you won't give it to him. Go borrow. And I love the statement. Borrow not a few. By the way, he also said vessels, empty one. Boy, God's not only looking for vessels, he's looking for empty vessels. I said, God's not only looking for empty vessels, he's looking for a lot of empty vessels. You know, preacher, I've often said, I get to some churches and they're so amazed why God never shows up. And I'm finding out God doesn't show up because they don't put out no vessels. Somebody help me preach. I mean, if you get up in church on Sunday and act like you don't expect God to show up, then don't be mad when he doesn't. Well, you know, I'm just kind of up here throwing a little something together because I had a long week and didn't really have time to really get in the word of God. Y'all pray for me. I'm just going to give you a little fire. No. Listen, this is championship time. We're representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You say, we don't need to sing that good of a song. We don't have a full auditorium. Who you singing to? You singing to God. He's alive. He's ruled. He reigns. I don't care if you got 5 in your church or 5,000 in your church. Get up every Sunday, every Wednesday, like it's a big Sunday. Put a vessel out because God is in the business of filling them up.
Borrowing out a few.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if there aren't Christians in the building tonight, myself included, who would not have to readily admit, God, you did less because I put out less. How many people did you lead to the Lord last year? Well, God only allowed me to lead this. Wait a minute, be careful. Because we don't know how many you could have led to the Lord. How many times did you not have a track? How many times did you go to the line and never open up your mouth? The preacher just said a few moments ago, tell people about Jesus. Well, I don't have a great soul winning preacher. I didn't ask you what you didn't have. I asked you what you do. Do you have a mouth? Do you have a tongue? And do you have teeth that go inside your mouth next to your tongue that you can tell somebody about Jesus? Well, open up that mouth, use them teeth, and use that tongue and let somebody know he's the way, he's the truth, he's the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by him.
Personal aggression. Private attention. Get them from everybody. Get them from everybody. Get them from everybody. And then bring them in the house and shut the door. You know, God's trying to build her faith. Watch it. I said, God's trying to build her faith. She got vessels from everybody. But when it came time for God to work, he did it in the house with her. But I tell you, I love church. I said, I love church. If I didn't, I wouldn't have got on 66, come down 29 on a Thursday night. Amen. I'd have been watching Thursday night football if I didn't love church. But a preacher said, we're having a Bible conference. And on a Thursday night, about 2 hours from the house, if you can drive down here and preach, we'd love to have you preach. I said, preacher, count me in, because ain't nothing going on in town or on the television that'll overshadow getting together with the people of God in the house of God, around the word of God, singing the songs of God. I love church, but I tell you, the greatest times I've had with God were not in church, but when God and I got in a room by ourselves and shut the door, and God said, you're the one that's struggling, you're the one that's weak, you're the one that needs help. Go talk to them, get encouragement. But after you do, get in the house, shut the door, and watch me work.
Amen. Amen.
I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
How many times lately have you been in the room with him with the door shut? You can't ride off of this. I said you can't ride off of this. Because the devil will hit you where you don't have no help. And he'll tempt you when you don't have no backup. And he'll wait till you leave the church service. And he'll wait till your spouse falls asleep. And he'll wait till you lose your job. And he'll wait till that doctor gives you a bad diagnosis. And he'll wait till that all of a sudden Christian child decides to rebel. And he'll show up. You're going to need more than a sermon audio, or revivals coming month after next to lean on to stand for God. You're going to need some show enough, bona fide, authentic times where you've been in a room with God, following God's instruction, and by yourself with the door shut. God showed up.
That's good.
Persuaded activity. Get the vessels, bring them in, shut the door, and then number 3, pour out the oil into all of them.
Huh? Elisha, you must not heard the answer to your own question. I got one pot of oil. Now you just told me to borrow a bunch of pots. Bring the bunch of pots to the one pot. The bunch of pots got no oil. The one pot got oil. From the one pot with oil, I gotta pour in a bunch of oil into the bunch of pots with no oil from the one pot with oil. That sounds like fuzzy math to me. Could I tell you, faith always trumps fuzzy math. I said faith always trumps fuzzy math. Let me tell you something. If you're waiting for the work of God to make sense, you should have signed up for another camp. If you're working for God's work to add up, you should have signed up for another camp. It didn't add up when Moses stood in front of that Red Sea, but sure enough, it parted. It didn't add up when David had that slingshot, but sure enough, Goliath fell down. It didn't add up when Naaman dipped in the Jordan River, but on the seventh time, he came up clean. It didn't add up when you showed up to God with all your righteousnesses as filthy rags, but you're saved today.
Amen.
Takes faith.
Yeah.
Watch this now. It not only takes faith to pour, it takes faith to ever go borrow in the first place. We're still in the instruction part. I mean, I think sometimes we read the Bible and we read it with less appreciation because we already know the ending. Oh yeah, I know this part. She gonna go get them vessels. She gonna bring them back, pour oil. God gonna multiply the oil. Ooh, shazam. Now listen, you read it like that. But for this woman, she was broke. And her boys were getting ready to be taken. The one who handled the money was dead. She's got one pot of oil, and she's gonna risk that on this plan. Tell me she didn't walk by faith. I wonder if I got a witness in the house that will be glad to testify and say, every time I've stepped out with God on faith, he's come through every time. We walk by faith and not by sight. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Ladies and gentlemen, when you don't have two nickels to rub together and you don't have any answer that you can figure out, you gotta believe that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the mighty power that worketh in us. You gotta know you can do all thanks to Christ, your God shall supply all your need. You got to know that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Stop waiting for the oil to show up and do it, because God said.
Amen.
I want you to notice divine intervention. Up to this point, God's done nothing. And yet, it's still a part of his plan. Now, I think I'd be safe to say he was not going to intervene until she did her part. Have you ever been a Christian looking at your watch waiting on God? I wonder if heaven had a camera. I wonder if you could get God on FaceTime. I wonder if while you were looking at your watch, he'd be looking at his. God, I'm sure wondering when you're going to show up. And God said, I'm sure wondering when you will. Preacher, I don't know if it happens in Madison, but we have it in Northern Virginia. We have people that phone in, email in, text in, and call in prayer requests every Wednesday night that we'll pray for them during our Wednesday night prayer meeting. We believe in the power of prayer. But every once in a while, Brother Dave, I want to ask some of them, while you got your name on everybody's prayer list, have you ever thought about putting your name on your own? Did the thought ever occur to you to drive to the church that's praying for you on Wednesday night and pray for yourself?
Right. Right.
Y'all sure y'all been praying, Pastor? Y'all been praying for me now. I go to the barbershop. Hey, Rev. Hey, Rev. Y'all been praying for me now. You know about that. Hey, Rev. Rev. Y'all been praying for me now. And when their life doesn't go well, they want to ask me, you sure you've been praying for me like you should? Maybe if my prayers aren't the holdup, maybe it's your performance.
Right. Right. Right.
Pastor, Pastor, you got my name on your prayer list, right? I still don't have a car yet. Yeah, God ain't gonna give you a car till you give him your feet. Why should he let you mash a pedal when you won't pick up your foot? I just wish I could learn the Bible like my pastor and be able to preach like that. Why should you learn it like your pastor if you won't read it like a student? Put your watch down and stop waiting on God, and maybe God's waiting on you. Listen, the only time you should be waiting on God is after you've done all you can. And now she has. She's in the house. She did everything she could. Proper obedience always leads to a providential outcome. They borrowed a bunch of vessels. They brought them in the house. She shut the door, and I'd have liked to have been there when she picked up that one pot with oil and started pouring. I guess after she poured that first pot, it wasn't a big deal. But she went on to the next pot, and the oil was still pouring. And she went on to the next pot, and the oil was still pouring. And she went on to the next pot, and the oil was still pouring. I guarantee you, about that time, she started looking down at that pot going, "Where's this oil coming from?" She probably looked at the rest of the vessels down there and thought, "Well, I wonder if I can still keep pouring those vessels." And right about that time, something came forward in her mind. So far, so good. Might as well keep on pouring. So far, so good. Might as well keep on pouring. Ladies and gentlemen, you go with God when you can't see it. You get up to the 11th hour and God will show up.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'm sorry, I'm liable to preach you into labor. I'm gonna stand over here by somebody else. I ain't gonna mess with the pastor's daughter. No. Let me go stand in another section. She keep going like this. It got me nervous. The Holy Ghost said, "It's okay to pour, but pour in another section. Leave that sister alone." Perpetual, ongoing. And the particular observation here is this. I remind you, the number of vessels that God filled was based on the number of vessels she borrowed. The Holy Ghost has to give you illumination to understand the Bible. But he can't illuminate what you don't read. God has to answer prayer. But you can't have answer prayers that you've never prayed. I mean, if something's going to happen at church, God has to show up. But I can't be in on what happens when God shows up if I don't show up. So stop asking the pastor, "Is he praying for you?" when you're not coming to church. Amen. And stop asking your mentor to help you learn the Bible when you're not reading it. And stop asking God to give you more souls to lead to the Lord when you don't carry gospel tracts. Amen. Amen. And stop asking God to help you be a good pastor in a pulpit when you're not a good preacher in the pew.
Amen.
Amen.
How about that? Amen.
And certainly don't ask God to help you find a wife when you're being a sorry single.
Amen.
Because he'll only fill how many vessels you borrow. Lastly, and I'm finished, the delightful inevitability. It always turns out good with God.
Amen.
The amazing supply. Whew. The vessels were full. Boy, I'm glad God ain't a halfway God.
Amen.
I said, I'm glad God ain't a halfway God. Don't Don't you let this old lying devil in this crazy world and this whack society tell you, you go ahead and serve the Lord, you'll always be scraping the bottom of the barrel. And you just go on and get all into that independent fundamental Baptist church, you'll be struggling and sliding your way on down to glory until Jesus finally comes back and gets your paraplegic spiritual self up off the ground and you'll finally know what it is to have joy. But until then, just struggle on for Jesus, doing the best you can. Dog poop. I'm trying to tell you, serving God means God fills my cup and my cup runs over. There's no better life in this world than the life of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can't fill it up, but I know a God who can. I can't make it happen, but I know a God who can. I can't change the world, but I know a God who can. He's in the business of amazing supply. Wow.
Amen. Amen.
He filled them. But you know what I like about this story? That her amazing supply that God did, that she saw, did not negate her of her appropriate service. Just one of my favorite parts. The oil stayed, verse 6. She told the man of God. That's like coming to church and sharing a testimony. Guess what, Pastor? God bless me. A wonderful blessing this week. Now, don't get mad with me and don't get mad with the pastor. Because if the pastor's name was Elisha, after you telling him your big blessing, he would have said, go pay your debt. Have you ever met Christian people that begged God for help, got help, and forgot to pay their debt after they got it? I've been to the prison to visit. Watch it now. You got to think on your feet when you preach it. You've been to the hospital. Pastor, if God gets me out of here. Pastor, if God gets me out of here, I'm going to be in church and I'm going to praise God for the rest of my life. They check out the hospital and you ain't seen them since Mr. Clean had an afro. When God provides, you better pay your spiritual debt. And when God provides, you better pay your financial debt. When God provides, you better pay your physical debt. Amen. I'm all for shouting, but not in exchange for paying your debt. Amen. Have some risk. If God gives you a car, drive to church.
Right.
If God heals you, come to the house of God. If God saves you, tell somebody about it. If God gives you a job, tithe. If God gives you a wife, lead her right. If God gives you a husband, submit to his authority. If God gives you godly parents, obey them in the Lord, for this is right. God didn't have to show up. A few verses later, you were so broke you couldn't pay attention. They were coming to get your boys. Your husband was dead. You had one pot. You got a house full of pots that are full of oil. Now pay your debt, sister. What we owe God. By the way, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, I'm a debtor. And he'd never been to Rome. How in the world you can be a debtor to somebody you ain't never met? Well, there are two ways to become a debtor. First way is by borrowing directly from someone. You're a debtor. The second way to become a debtor to someone is that somebody else gives you something that you're supposed to give to that person. In other words, Brother Freeman, if I borrow money from you until I pay you back, I'm a debtor to you. However, if I'm coming to church tonight and Brother Dave says, I'm not going to be able to make it tonight, but if you see my father-in-law, would you hand him this $50? If I don't give you that $50 when I see you, although I didn't borrow from you, I'm a debtor to you, not because I got something I didn't give you back, but I got something from somebody that I was supposed to give to you. Paul said, I'm a debtor to the Romans, not because they loaned me something. I'm a debtor to the Romans because God gave me something, and he gave me something that I was supposed to give to them. And until I give them what God gave me, I'm a debtor. By the way, the biggest debt we'll ever have is that after God saved us, we owe the whole lost and dying world the message that Jesus saves. And how many blessed people in the room haven't paid their debts. Absolute sufficiency. It stayed. An ample sustenance. Live. Thou and thy children. On the rest. But you know what this tells me? Doing the service that I owe God will always leave me enough to live on. You know, some people think, well, if I just serve God, I'm just going to burn out. By the way, I'd rather burn out than rust out.
Amen.
God ain't going to let you run out.
Right.
Amen. It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And there's yo. The energy you need to serve God comes from God. And if he don't run out, you won't either.
Right.
Live on the rest. The Bible never tells us she was wealthy. It just tells us that what she needed, she had. Give us this day our, that's right. By the way, as a preacher, it's always been my practice. You can't preach today trying to save some for tomorrow. You preach today giving it all you got, and know when you get to tomorrow, God will meet you there. I don't know where this preacher's headed the rest of the week. But he ain't look like he saved none. I didn't see him tuck no energy in none of his pockets. He got two up here and two down here and two in the back. I didn't see him sneak nothing extra in those pockets. But I guarantee you, wherever he ends up in the pulpit, in whatever city, if he's standing under the spout where the glory comes out, God will make sure there's oil in that bucket. We got too many Christians trying to tuck away stuff. Well, I can't pay with God what I owe him, because I ain't going to have enough to live on. Who you think God is?
Right.
Boy, when you come to church, you better shout on Sunday morning like you may not even make it back on Sunday night. And if you get there, tell God to fill your tank back up, because you used it all up in the morning service. Lay it all on the line. We're running out of time. Jesus is coming back. The world's going to hell. The devil that had knows that he had but a short time. And we got Christians with contingency plans.
Right.
I'd sell all out for God. For what? But what if it doesn't work out? How in the world can it not work out with God? And here's a woman, as desperate she had ever been. But in 2 Kings chapter 4, she found out something about Almighty God. He provides. I don't know where you are tonight, but I know about an hour and 45 minutes up the road, there's a congregation in Bailey's Crossroads full of some desperate folk. Asked Ken Hawkins 4 months ago, he was fine. He about died last month from kidney disease that they can't even figure out what he had. Brother Terry Raphael been healthy all his life. Now he's on chemotherapy. Said, I don't know what it's like to be tired all the time. Ron Miller was a wrestler, a big dude, 215 pounds. Ron Miller's withered down to about 120 pounds, 130 pounds now. Scleroderma, kidney shrinking. Now he's got Bell's palsy. Found out he's got a blood clot in the back of his brain. You know where he was last night? Limping up the steps to the soundboard where he works every Wednesday night, because ain't nobody going to steal his joy. He's found out God provides.
Amen.
Ron needs God. Terry Raphael needs God. Well, so do you. It may not be cancer. It may be a 15-year-old that's got to get up tomorrow morning and go to a public school. Or a Christian schoolboy that surrendered to preach and has no idea how he's going to get from there to there. Let me tell you something. Stick with God.
Yeah.
He'll figure, and he's not obligated to give you all the details and show you how it's going to come out. Just take fresh steps of obedience with him. And when you come out on the other end, just rest assured, every time you go back to that bucket, there'll be oil in there. Because the God we serve provides. Father, I don't know what anybody's facing tonight. I don't know what this church stands in need of. These preachers who've visited. These marriages, these young people sitting in the building tonight, that's a horrible world to grow up in. I don't know it all, can't figure it all out. But I know you provide. But I worry, God, I worry that you've got the stage set to pour the oil. But we're sure dragging on our feet, getting the vessels. Maybe the step for the believer tonight is just to do what he can. Your head's bowed and eyes closed. How many say tonight, I've got God on my mind. I need him to come through for me in a major way. I've got some burdens. I need God. Would you raise your hand all over the building? Now, I'd like to ask you a question. What do you have in the house? I already know what you don't have, and so does God. But can he have what you do have? And how much are you doing that's within your power? You want him to feel? Give him a bunch to feel then. For heaven's sake, don't wait on God to do for you what you can do yourself. Do all you can and let him do what only he can. If you're here tonight and you're not sure you're going to heaven, but you say, I don't want to go to hell. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven, but I don't want to die and go to hell. Please pray for me. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? God bless you, one of the children. God bless you. Let's stand together. Lord, would you fill this altar? Fill this altar with people who just do business with you. We heard the man of God, so far, so good. God, we stand in need. We didn't come here to just try to front like we've got it all together. We don't, but we know you do. Would you show up tonight, but would you show up because we showed up? Will you fill vessels we put out? Will you come through after we've done all we can, and would you lead us to obey you? In Jesus' name, amen. How about it? Would you come